Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode of Buzzing About Romance, we're giving you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I'm joined by my co-host, Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
And we are welcoming author Elizabeth Stevens. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Elizabeth Stevens is a top 10 USA Today bestselling author of diverse and fantastical romances where beastly men, or sometimes just beasts, always get the girl, and where women of color are celebrated loudly, Black and biracial women in particular. She currently lives in her hometown of Seattle, Washington, with her hubby, Tiny Humans, and doggo King Louie. She writes full-time as a hybrid indie and traditionally published author and is best known for her Supers in the City series with Montlake and her indie works like The Bone King and The Starling and The Dark City Omega. So before we talk Supers in the City, let's get to know you a little bit. So what initially drew you to romance as a writer?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know what actually drew me to romance specifically of all the genres. I think it's my other favorite genre is horror. So like the two ends of the spectrum. It feels like the stakes are just really high in both of those genres. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm just an adrenaline junkie and I like that feeling where your heart is just like hammering in your chest. I just finished The Hacienda, by the way, which is like both horror and you can't quite call it a romance, but very romantic. And mm-hmm. that for me, I think I like almost passed out. Like it's it was a lot in a good way.
So that's always a good thing. Mm-hmm. So what made you write that first novel and publish it?
Well, I, you know, my villain origin story is actually courtesy of my mom and American Girl doll company. I was a kid and I really wanted the American Girl dolls. Mm-hmm. And so the goal was I had to read all the books in order to get the doll. But I wanted a doll that looks like me, or at least I wanted a Black doll, and there weren't any. I'm not even sure if there are any now, but there have to be.
I think there are now.
The only ones that you could get at the time were the build your own, like look like me dolls.
Okay.
And since there weren't any books to read, my mom was like, we have to write a story. And so I wrote a story, which weirdly enough, like looking back on it is kind of like a sci-fi romance, you know, as much as an 11-year-old can write a romance, you know, she had like a crush and like, it was like a little space opera, goes to other planets and stuff. And I just never stopped writing after that, but I never finished anything either. I just like would get 2/3 of the way in. And like when the stakes are kind of like resolving, I would just never conclude it. One day I did, I was like challenging myself and I finally did finish something. I was in college and I was like, oh shit. Like what do you even do with this now? And, that book ended up being a young adult fantasy novel called The Rougarou and never was published, but I pitched it around to a bajillion different places, never got picked up by anyone. And then eventually got put in touch via my mom again. So basically my entire career is attributed to that woman and she's still my assistant and comes with me to all of my events today.
That's amazing.
That's nice.
Yeah. And so then I published what is now Lord of Population with an indie press in 2015. And that is the beginning of my publishing journey.
So for your writing, do you have any tricks, tips, habits that help you stay focused?
Not particularly. I am kind of a night owl, so I do a lot of my writing at night. But I think one thing that I always tell authors and that was told to me kind of early on in my like publishing journey was that like writing is just like any other skill, like you get better at it. And mm-hmm. it's not just in terms of quality, it's in terms of speed as well is like a major factor. And so that's just one thing that I've noticed and that I'm really happy about because it used to take me so long to finish a book and to determine like where different plot elements go inside of a story. And so now that I have like almost 20 books in my, under my belt, it's become a lot easier for me to be like, this book is going to take me 4 months to write. This book's going to take me 3 months to write. This book's going to take me 8 months to write. And actually be able to stick to that because I know a little bit more what I'm doing a little bit.
Well, there's a comfort to it too now, like.
Yeah, and it changes every time, right? Like one of the things I really like to do with writing is I just like really love challenging myself. And so the book I'm writing right now is actually for Bonkers season four, which I am so
Oh,
stoked to
yay.
be participating in. And it is like it's the craziest thing I've ever written for sure. It's so out there, but it's non-con as well, which is like something that genuinely like freaks me out. I don't
Okay.
really understand how to redeem like a non-con hero. And so this one's been like taking me a lot longer, and apologies to the Bonkers team if they ever see this, because this is one where I'm like, it will take me 3 months to write a book. And okay, I also had a baby, so
Yeah.
that
I
hasn't
mean,
helped either.
yeah, your
Yeah.
time is not really your own at this point.
No, it's all over the place, but it's yeah, I like the learning curve around it.
I do feel like though, like a non-con hero, like there's a, I mean, depending on how the book begins, like there definitely is like a harder time to show him as redeemable
Oh my
because of
gosh,
like the
for
non-con
sure.
aspect to it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not sure I've nailed it yet, but I'm working on it.
I have a friend who she reads romance and we were happened to be talking and she's like, "Do you have any recs?" I'm like, "Yes, I have all the recs." And then I was like, "Is consent important to you?" She's like, "Maybe." And I'm like, "Well, then I have a book for you."
I
And
know
we have,
Leah's our non-con
oh,
person.
I
Yeah,
do.
it's funny because like I read I'm my mom was like she was a Harlequin romance reader, and so my house was just full of Harlequin novels, and like all of those are non-con, all
I
of the
think
historical romances are non-con,
that's
but
where I got my start because my mom
right,
also like she got the monthly subscription box. So I think that's why, like, but also my red flags and my romance are not my red flags in real life.
No, for sure. I mean, even like the kinds of heroes that that I draw, they're like big, giant, burly. I love like a size gap, or they're monsters and
I
like
was
some
gonna
giant
say
fur. Yeah,
size and horns.
and horns, right? And I'm like, my husband is just like a normal 5'9" white, skinny white guy. So clearly not like
He's
what
not a Tyrannus.
No, he is not, alas. Yeah. To be fair, I would absolutely never date Tyrannus. Like,
Same.
narcissist goes immediately into my red flags, not interested column.
Yeah, true. So how do you, like when you're writing, do you structure the story so you have the development of the romance plus the development of the story and keep them balanced? Because you, like, especially with your superheroes, like there's a lot of story and world to it, but it balances very well with like the romantic side of it.
That's something that I always get way like my world building in the supers just got way out of hand. I was like, what am I doing here? This is outrageous. And
I love it.
yeah,
It's so good.
the Bone King and the Starling was actually written as kind of like a response to that because I wrote it after I finished book one in supers, and I'm like, I just am kicking myself too because I did the same thing with the Zaveri mates where I was like, oh, good Lord, like I'm inventing whole new like caste, class, language, religious systems. Like there's so much going on in here. And the Bone King and the Starling, I was like, I just want to focus, like I just want to make the whole book about the romance. And that's why it's much shorter as well. And so I was like, let me just focus on the romance because normally I set out just to focus on the romance, but I'm in a fantasy world. And so I'm like, okay, well, now I have to explain this thing. And if I explain this thing, then, well, I have to create an entire like village and community that goes around that. And oh, well, the village is on a continent, so I should probably explain that too. And like, yeah, what do the people look like from the continent? And suddenly I'm just, it's usually just
You're
the
going down
fourth
that
step.
slippery
Yeah.
slope.
So hardly a slippery slope. It's just like a free fall. Like,
So when you're writing, are you a pantser or are you a planner? Like, do
Oh,
you
I'm
plan
definitely a pantser.
a pantser?
That's how things get so
Chaotic.
out of hand. And a lot of times I have a lot of fun with it. I mean, I love world building. I love like constructing these, system magical systems. It's just so fun for like my brain to just go off in all of these crazy directions. And then the great thing about romance is that romance is genre with rules. And so with operating within the rules of the romance genre provides like it gives my book a structure, like an inherent structure. And that way I don't like I can afford to go off in all of these other crazy directions with the plot because I know at the end of the day, every third scene at least is going to have to be these two people together in some kind of a way. Tension, building, 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 and then getting into whatever kind of like explosive love situation comes at the end.
So are you between writing and the baby, like time is not really like free, but are you still reading a lot?
I do not know what happened to me during pregnancy, but I could not read like at all. I was reading like weird Hu Cao horror stuff, and I
Oh,
was just like,
honestly, I love a Hu Cao too. Becky loves the Hu Cao, and she makes fun of some of the things that I make, and I'm like, you look for Hu Cao books. So, like, do not come at me.
absolutely. I mean, who doesn't love a good? If you want a great one, you should try the Alien Pet Project. It's
Ooh,
fantastic.
I don't think we've come across those.
Yeah, it's real weird, but it's a great one. And that's pretty much all I read my entire pregnancy. And so now that I'm not pregnant anymore and have like some ability to use like small parts of my brain again, you're still very mushy, but I have started reading again, and which is how I finally finished the Hacienda, a book that I've been reading for literally a year, because every time my pregnant brain would pick it up, I would read it, love
You're like,
it,
oh wait, let me go back to the Hu
forgot.
Cow.
Let me go back to
Yeah,
the
honestly, I
hookah.
like a breeding kink book also. So,
Yeah,
I
I
mean, I
wish.
get it. I get
Yeah,
it.
I love a good. I love, breeding is definitely a thing that happens in a great number of my books.
There's just something about him. I mean, that is not. That's like reality. No, thank you. But in my books, yes, please.
And yeah, I definitely I like see someone like Katie Robert who reads what seems like a jillion books all the time and is able to just promote the crap out of other people's books, and I am so envious. I'm trying to get to that level of reading. I have not yet gotten there, but I am at least back in the reading game,
Yeah,
which makes me happy.
Katie actually, she likes a monster book. Like, we had her on for an episode a couple years ago, and we talked about all about monster romances. And so she enjoys a monster. And actually, she got Becky and I like in this downward spiral of chaos in the monster world.
What? Yeah, Katie actually, they actually also got me back into horror, which is something because I tend to read like I was like a Stephen King kid growing up and read lots of Stephen King, but I kind of forgot that there were other horror authors besides Stephen King and just reading like anyways, I've got like a ton of books on my shelf all from Katie's recommendations, so I'm
Yeah,
just
she has the best like recs like in her newsletter and stuff. I'm always like astounded by the
And
books
she's
that.
so good at capturing such a diverse array of authors too. That makes me so happy that like all of her authors are like queer or BIPOC or have like unusual backgrounds. It's really cool.
So let's talk the superheroes world. So where was the inspiration for this world?
The inspiration, You know what's so funny is I keep getting asked that question, and I'm like, the boys is where my brain goes. And then someone was like, this feels like it's Megamind. And I was like, duh,
Oh, yeah.
Megamind for years was the only movie that I had downloaded onto my laptop. And every time I flew back before you could get Wi-Fi and stuff on a flight, that was the only movie I would watch like over and over and over again. So
Oh,
Megamind
man.
clearly was a subconscious inspiration, but the one that I can point to was I started watching The Boys when that came out, and like, this is such, I mean, this seems so obvious that superheroes would be turned into these like capitalistic corporate entities if they existed on Earth. And I just couldn't figure out like why none of the DC Marvel universes really touched that. Like, I guess Iron Man, but he's, you know, in and of himself a thing, but everyone else is so focused on having these masked identities and not being out as a superhero. That it didn't really lend itself to that, but that seemed normal. And I was really excited about that idea, but I was watching The Boys and was like, this show is going to make me depressed and need massive amounts of therapy.
Yeah,
So
it's a lot.
it's not okay, is
It's
what
no.
it is. It's not. I'm
We made
like,
it through part of season one. I don't think we finished it because I was like, I just can't. I just can't.
no, it's like really the worst of humanity. And in this current climate, I do not really need to be experiencing more of the worst of humanity. So I set out and I was like, well, come on, there's got to be like a rom like I've never read a superhero romance. There's got to be one of those. And I couldn't find any. I actually only found one. I found Gracie and the Grump by Mariana
Yes.
Zapata.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that one's great. I loved it, but I was like, it's lacking like the Marvel. It's got all of the Mariana Zapata that I love, like the slow burn, like, oh, just so good, meaty romance, but it didn't have any of the explosions. I was like, I need, where's the
Like, I
Marvel
need something to blow
explosion?
up a little bit.
Yeah, superheroes, I'm expecting something to explode. And so I was like, well, I guess I should rate it myself. And it was at a time when I was my agent, who I've actually just parted with, but she was trying to pitch Dark City Omega. And my editor, who is amazing at Montlake, was like, I love Dark City Omega. I love Nodding. I love Omegaverse. And she could not get it past her editorial board because the guy that signs the checks had her like come into his office and try to explain Nodding. And he was like, no. Absolutely not.
No tea on that one.
Exactly. And the irony is that then they bought the series from me, basically sight unseen. I like wrote a first chapter that now no longer even exists. That's what they paid for. And then I just rewrote it and threw some knots in. So I was like, you already paid for it. So we're gonna
Gonna do what I want.
see how we go.
So that actually, one of my next questions was going to be, are you Marvel or DC? But I think just the fact that you have not mentioned DC at all, like it's a Marvel land there.
I think the DC landscape again is just a little bit darker, at least cinematically, than the universe. And I kind of loved, just because this was my first traditional book too, and because the state of the universe is so depressing right now, I was like, I just want to do something lighter and like more fun and bright colors and explosions and monsters and
But there's some heavy in there too.
I know. I don't really know how to do like a rom-com, so this was as close as I probably get.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like I liked the heavy. It was very, very compelling, especially in the first book. Like I read that book and I was like screaming about it everywhere until I made everybody read
She
it.
did. She made us
I
all read
so
it.
appreciate that. So appreciate it.
And I
Yeah,
will say, I did the
go ahead.
audiobook and
Oh.
the male narrator, holy crap, he was perfect.
Oh my gosh,
Not that the
yes.
female narrator was anything to like be upset about. She was very good too, but there was just something about him. He fit this that character. He was the wyvern. Like it was just such a great casting.
Yeah, I also like I intentionally wrote like the first six chapters just from Vanessa's perspective because I loved the idea of like kind of bait and switching and like lulling readers into the belief that this was like a single POV.
You do do that.
But I did not anticipate how that was going to work with the audiobook, because when I was listening to the audiobook and I heard his voice drop that first line, I was like, I think I like blacked out. I was like, oh my gosh. I know I selected this narrator, but this was far beyond my wildest dreams.
Well, and no joke, like I went into it because I usually eyeball read and I typically only reread an audio, but this one I didn't have time to eyeball. I was like, I gotta get this done. And so like I went into it, I was like, oh man, like is this gonna be single point of view? Like, and I don't hate it, but I don't love it at the same time. And then he shows up and I'm like, I actually scanned through the chapter, like the titles, to see if like it had like the who was like point of view, and I was like, oh, he does show up. But then when he shows up.
He shows up. Oh my gosh. And I don't know where they get these. I'm also just with book two coming out, when I like looked at the casting list, and I feel so sorry for the other male narrators that were included in this list, because I didn't actually have to go any farther than just reading their names, because this was like a crazy full circle moment for me. But the very first audiobook I ever produced, I did myself, and it was taken to Veraxia. I had no idea what I was doing. And I did everything wrong. And so instead of going to like a production company first, I found the narrators first. And I fell in deeply in love with Sean Crisden, who is a male narrator.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I reached out to him and he was so wonderful. But he was like, I'm not a production company. Like, I can't make a duet book for you. And ended up not working out. And I was like, I will, like, I hope our stars, whatever, again. And like, just without me saying anything, sent me Sean Kristen as one of the possible options. And when I heard his take on Tyrannus, I lost my mind. He
Oh,
is
I'm very
like the
excited for this.
growls and like the way his voice just gets like, oh my, like the way he like tears through the growly, angry words is just like, it's too much. I'm like working myself up about it. But
Oh, I can
the cool thing
imagine.
is that he was also really excited about it, because he's trying to get more into monsters and beauty and fantasy stuff. And I was like, oh, please come to me. Just come to
I'm actually listening to a book
me.
right now that he did, and I just really enjoy his voice a lot.
Yes, he has a very nice voice.
He
That man,
does.
if he spoke like that in real life, I think that he would have to have like some kind of a warning. Like, I hope he speaks in another way in real life, just so he doesn't like confuse people all the time. Like, if I was like a waitress trying to take his order, I would just like
Or if
not.
he was the waiter taking your order,
Oh no,
like
I
if
would
he
order
rolled up to your table and was like, what can I get for you? It's like, just kill me now because I'm dead.
I know. I would take my papers, I would cover my husband's face with them, and I would be like, sir, can we just
Yes.
private?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah,
So
I'm
good.
very excited for that now.
Too much,
I know,
too much.
I'm like imagining like dialogue that like I've read like in his voice now.
And like with Tyrannus too, because he's this like just angry person and has all of these like crazy multifaceted personality. Yeah, it works very well.
So let like so we were talking about Superheroes Need PR, which is out now and it's available in KU and it's read and listen, and you should do read and listen, like, because it's
Yes.
amazing. But All Superheroes Need Photo Ops comes out November 25th, 2025, and it has the superhero villain workplace. He falls first, which you do not expect. And there's because
No.
he's a lot.
He's a
He is a
lot. He's
lot.
my, he's my, I think he's my, fa it's tied with Yaren from Shadowlands Omega, but he's my favorite MMC I've ever written.
Oh,
And the
really?
irony is that he's the least likable one I've ever written.
He's very hard to like.
And I loved that. I loved writing him a lot. It was a lot of fun.
Do you have any inspiration for him specifically, or is it just
I try to do this thing with my books where I try not to repeat myself. So I try to make sure that like every character, like not only in terms of like it started with the Zaveri Mate series where I'd read like, okay, like everybody knows I love Ruby Dixon. She's amazing, but she set a lot of those IPB books on the exact same planet. And after like the fifth planet, I was like, I mean, the fifth book, I was like, I feel like I need more out of this universe. And so I went, and when I was writing my sci-fi romance, I was like, I want every single book to be a totally distinct planet, which again has its own difficulties. But I try to do the same thing with characters as well. And because I write a lot of Black characters, they tend to be like kind of homogenous in terms of aesthetic. Like they are mostly all Black people, at least mostly all Black women. But the monsters give me a lot of leeway for the male characters. But then with Tyrannus, I was like, I didn't know exactly where I wanted to go with the character, but I knew that I wanted that like shiny veneer we get in the first book. I knew I wanted that to be totally fake. And so I was like, if I'm gonna make it fake, I wanted to be concealing like the opposite of what it's presenting. And so that was just kind of like a fun thing to mess with. And I wasn't even sure if I was gonna do a book for Tyrannus. But I had originally planned a whole other set of characters for book two, but I that scene that I wrote in book one with Monica was like changed everything for book two, and I was like, damn, I really like this female lead, and I want to give her a book. And I was like, she's the kind of character that could take on a Tyrannus type, so I paired them together.
I really like Monica's character because she knows what she wants. She's very like open. She's like a sexual being and like very like open about that and has no qualms about like living her life the way that she wants to live it. But he kind of throws a wrench in like her, I'm gonna do what I want to do type of life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not only because he's a crazy person, but because like he's like, double crossing, and then she's like basically coerced into being a spy, and she's like, guys, I do photography, I'm good at my job, I don't really want to have any part of this. And suddenly she's thrust into this world where she's like doing something for the first time she's not good at and like fails immediately at it. And so it was just like fun. I like forcing characters that like I like forcing characters into like their opposite. Like that's why I like doing somebody asked me why like I made King Kalai a virgin from the Bone King and the Starling. It's like I love having like this violent, huge, like man's man kind of character be this kind of like just have this like weird soft edge somewhere. Like I like giving people these I don't know, these dualities. Kind
Well,
of.
there's such a juxtaposition to the way
That's
you
the word I was
create your
looking
characters.
for.
'Cause like, 'cause even in book one, like you have this not stereotypical, but this almost stereotype with the way that they are. But then when you really get down into like the storytelling and learn more about them, there's so many layers that you're not really expecting, but in the best way.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I try, that's why I always say I could never write a like a polyam or a reverse harem, because I'm like, there's so not enough pages to like fully develop that many characters, like that amount of characters. Like it's so much. And I want to make sure I think one of the things that like I first learned as a romance author is that it's often so easy to just give the female main character a backstory and to have the main male character be kind of like a prop. And like trying to divorce myself of that and like get away from that was like ex first off expanded the length of my books, but also made them for much better reads, I think.
In the details of these superheroes, so where did you come up with like the wyvern, like the way that like he reveals and like with the horns and Tyrannus, like when he gets his tail and like all of those things, like where, like how did you come up with these like true identities of theirs?
Well, I mean, that's just kind of because I am deeply in my monster era right now. And
Yeah.
yeah, I'm like not writing anything that's not monsters right now. And yeah, and I was like nervous going into trad, being like, they're not gonna want a monster romance for me. So I kind of have to like ease them into it. And so basically you have book one where he's like 80% or 90% a person, and then book two where he's like 10% a person, and then by the time you get to book three, he's just not a person at all anymore. So, yeah. Yeah, we've just abandoned with the pretext. Yeah.
I love the fact that you made them aliens because when I went into the like I was not expecting it. So I was just like, oh, they're superheroes. And but you know, obviously if I think about Superman, I'm like, oh duh, you know, it makes sense that they're aliens. But I was so pleasantly like surprised. I was like, ooh.
Well, but it's not like they're not the humanoid aliens because it's like Superman, like he is very human,
Right.
but
Yeah.
he
Not
starts out
one
that way though.
thing.
He
This is true.
starts out that way, and then we get into the, you know, so the monster alien, and I was like, oh, here we go. I
Yes.
was so excited.
Yeah, that was like also just a lack of creativity. I was like, I couldn't think of any other way.
I think it's a very
I
creative
couldn't
way
think,
to
yeah,
like
any
have these
other.
women be their this key that we didn't know about. Like, I mean, I kind of spoiled things,
She
but you
just
should have read
spoiled
book one already. So, whoops.
it. Yeah, it's okay. I'm all for spoilers here.
But
So,
I think that's a very like interesting and creative way of doing it because it's not something you would have expected.
no, and it's like part of me is just like my brain tries to like logic things out, and so I'm like, it's pretty unlikely that if there were aliens, they would be humanoid in appearance. And so I needed like some way to solve that. And then I was okay, well, I'm gonna give them these like cloaking things, but then I need a way for them to get out of the cloaking thing. And then I was like, just like one thing zigs and zags to another. And I'm, a huge fan of like my favorite combo trope is fated mates plus enemies to lovers. So I
Okay.
like them to be fated but also hate each other. It's like a
I do
completely
like a rejected mate.
Yeah,
Yeah.
a completely ludicrous scenario to be to find yourself in. Oh, hello, hello. Come here, baby. Do you want to join the party? Baby's gonna join the party for a minute.
So what's next?
Well, next is hopefully. Oh my gosh, so angry. Give me just a
It's
second.
okay. Take your time.
Oh, he's so cute.
Look at his little, like, fluffy.
I know.
I just love his little suit.
Oh, so angry just for a second here. Okay, this is the situation I'm in these days.
It's okay.
Appreciate you.
It is 100% okay. Like I said, I have been there. I get it. I mean, I still live that life and my kids are older, so.
I know. I'm like, I also, I'm like trying to be more hone my inner European because I'm like, it's normal that babies are around and cry. And I feel like, anyways, my spiel about American society and how babies must be like seen but not heard kind of thing. I'm like, no, okay, I have to be more zen with it. But what's next is, well, we have the After the End Kickstarter, which is going on now. And that is also still me in my monster era. yeah. And that is actually my story for that is actually a novella that spins off of Taken by the Picasso Warlord. So it's set in that same universe. You don't have to have read that one first or anything. It's just, I really liked that like desolate post-apocalyptic landscape. Only in this one, there are like humans that have evolved with like monster features in order to help them adapt to the landscape. And she's got to be my, I think if I talk about like Tyrannus being my favorite MMC I've written, like Ren, the female character from Taken, might be my favorite female character I've ever
Oh, nice.
written because she is a complete idiot. And I've never really written a female character that has like no no useful skills and like not really very like capable of putting things together to help herself have useful skills. So it was hilarious working with her, and she's also in like a miscommunication trope, so she's like they literally can't speak the same language, and so she's out here just like a fumbling fool, and he's this like dark brooding hero who's like, she hates me, like what's go like how can we like make this work, and
What's
meanwhile
going? Oh,
he's
wait,
like,
she just can't understand
yeah,
me.
she can't understand you,
Oh, that's so
and
funny.
she has no idea what she's doing, so it's a good time.
Oh, that sounds so much fun.
But it's
Yeah, those
actually,
covers are gorgeous too
I
for that
yeah, they are
whole that
very pretty.
Kickstarter
Oh
looks
my
amazing.
God, so good. And the other thing about that was like that book came from like my Fallout Girl era, because it was like I watched this post-apocalyptic show and I was like, this is so crazy how I have never written like a funny post-apocalyptic. Like, I don't know. I was just like, that's so obvious to put those two things together. Like, A, I'm like still feeling depressed because it's 2025 and things seem to be going badly. But yeah, I was like, yeah, this is a great idea just to try to make this post-apocalyptic scenario hilarious. And so this was again my attempt at some hilarious, some levity in this post-apocalyptic universe. But after that, then I have book two in Super is coming out end of November, and then Bonkers season three launches in March. I mean, sorry, Bonkers season four launches in March. And that's my non-con monster romance, hopefully romance. Let's see how we're going.
Hopefully, it'll be there.
It'll get there. And then I am hopefully going to be able to announce some additional supers very soon. So,
Ooh. We're very excited for that because we love this world. We do.
yes, we are thinking about making it like a villains, like a villain. Like we had this heroes duet, and now we're going to do like the villains duet.
Oh.
Because obviously, there's a villain character at the end, you meet at the end of, or that at the end of book two has some unresolved business.
Yes, I was very excited. I was like, ooh, is that where we're gonna go next? So
Yeah.
I was very, very excited to see that.
Oh,
And everyone needs to read it so they know what I'm talking about.
I know.
So
And I felt like this was again another case of me feeling really silly and like writing myself into a corner, because I was like, I wanted the series to only be black romances because I don't feel like there's enough black romances out there. And then I had to write this darned blonde character with tattoos all over his face, who I liked so much. And I'm like, again, reality versus romance, you know, what I'm into, very different.
Oh man, I'm so excited.
Thank
Well, 'cause when
you.
we read your book for our book club and it didn't work out that you could visit with us, but like that was one of the things that we talked about during the book club. It's like, so all of these like aliens crash landed and there's like the 48 and it's like, is she gonna write all of the books? We're like, there's no way she can write 48 books, but there are definitely, and also just like in the PR company, like there's so
Oh,
many
yeah.
interesting characters there too, and it's like, how many of these people are we getting books for?
Vanessa's brothers. We're all very
Yes,
like in
Vanessa's
love with Vanessa's
brothers.
brothers.
I know Vanessa's brothers were a lot of fun. They're like
Like,
what I would want, what I would have wanted. I am an only child, and I'm like, if I could have had five siblings, I would have wanted them to be just like
well,
that.
and I just love the way that Vanessa's story like played out with like the adoption side of it and like how like it was there, but it was like a non like issue like throughout the story, and I really enjoyed that part of it. But her brothers were just so ridiculous, and
Yeah, we all
we
love
just
them.
loved them. So
I
like,
love
we'll just send Elizabeth a list of all the books that we need.
I know I've gotten a lot of requests for Marjorie and Charlie so far, but
Yes. Yes. Even just a
I
novella. Like we'd be happy with a short, like a short
neither of
novella.
them have a knot or horns or fangs
It's
there.
okay.
But you know, it would be amazing like Patreon content, which is another thing, because I joined your Patreon recently. So
Oh, You're like, hey, no, I've got some
So, I
ideas.
mean,
This
you
is true. I
know.
mean, you have so much time.
Yeah, no,
I
I know.
do. I have infinite
Yeah.
time these days, as this tiny little hand waving angrily here.
Well, nobody else can see the tiny hands waving, just us. Well, and on that tiny hand waving, we will let you go. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it so much.
My gosh, I am so grateful, and thanks for putting up with this
Oh, look at those
adorable.
cheeks. Oh,
Yeah,
my
he
goodness.
is doing his best to being a baby.
Oh,
I'm
he's
doing my
adorable.
best to ride around him somehow.
You
So
will, we
you're
will
doing an
make it
amazing
happen.
job. Appreciate it. Thank y'all so much for having me and for reading my book for your book club and all the things.
Okay. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.